Hey there, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian Episode 4, StemVids. I'm Daniel Messer. Welcome to this episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. My name is Daniel Messer, the Cyberpunk Librarian, and for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about STEM videos. So, STEM is one of those things that people either know what it is or they don't, and those who know what it is will be listening to this part, sort of nodding and smiling and kind of being in on the joke, where others who might not know what it is are going, huh? So let's get the STEM thing out of the way. STEM is an acronym. And to make things even more confusing, sometimes you'll see STEM and or STEAM. So STEM. STEM is S-T-E-M, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And this is a focus that you will see more prominently here in some libraries across the country as the Collaborative Summer Reading Program starts to get underway and people start planning for it, as the Collaborative Summer Reading Program nationwide will have a STEM focus. Beyond that, libraries are getting into STEM in a big way, just from things like makerspaces and hackerspaces and things like that, because you really can't have a makerspace or a hackerspace without somehow embodying STEM. Now, STEAM, on the other hand, is the same exact thing, but we've just added an A, which is, of course, for the arts. So STEM, STEAM, you'll hear them interchangeably used. Some people will focus more on STEM than STEAM. Just roll with it. Just know that it's science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And it's going to be a focus for the summer. And if you know that, you'll probably be okay. So for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about STEM videos on YouTube. Because as it happens, there's a couple channels I want to share with you that are incredibly good at basically introducing someone to the concept of STEM and why it can be interesting, and in many cases, why it can be fascinating. Now, myself, I have a background in astronomy. I'm not a professional astronomer. At best, I am a talented amateur, and that is at best. If we start looking at the reality of the situation, I have no idea what I'm doing. But after studying it for years and looking into the aspects of astronomy, I can at least read the hard scientific astronomical papers coming out of things like the archive from Cornell University and pretty much keep up. I mean, sometimes when it gets into the really advanced mathematics, I will sort of say, okay, I will just sort of make a note here and we'll go on. So I have a background in astronomy, and so anything that gets the science and technology and engineering and mathematics thing flowing, especially for, kids and teens, but adults too, that really makes me smile. So I'm really looking forward to this program and this sort of focus, and I hope this doesn't end with just the summer and that STEM doesn't go away, because quite frankly, STEM can't go away. If we, you know, if we want to raise some scientifically and mathematically literate children in America, and indeed anywhere in the world, you need to teach them STEM, and in my opinion, you also need to teach them STEAM, because let's face it, the arts are very important. So, I found some videos on YouTube that I would love to share with you, because basically, they make great introductory videos on different topics, and they introduce these topics in ways that are entertaining, fun, lighthearted, and in some cases, absolutely thrilling. So I'm going to go on two channels. I'm going to talk about two makers, and then we'll talk about the channels that they have, because they're both kind of the same thing, but they have multiple channels within their service. So picture it kind of like, I believe it's called Stars now. It used to be called Encore, where you have a Stars channel that shows action movies, and then there's a Stars channel that shows romance movies. Well, we're going to talk about some channels that show videos about astronomy, and then some other channels that show videos about mathematics and computers and so on. So sit back and, you know, maybe bring up a browser if you've got one available. If you're listening to this in the car, I would highly recommend that you don't bring up a browser. That could be dangerous. You can always check out the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast, where I will link all of this stuff here, plus a little bit more that I haven't talked about in the show. Because these are great videos, and they make for fun, interesting ways to introduce staff and public to the STEM concepts. So let's get started. So I want to start off by making one thing clear, that these are by far not the only STEM-related videos that you will find on YouTube. I'm simply going to cover a couple channels. Actually, that's the wrong way to phrase it, because actually I'm going to cover a couple of creators, and both of them have several channels on YouTube. So what I'm trying to say is that there are more STEM videos out there, more channels, and I will share some of them in the show notes. I just don't want to fill up your time talking about all of them, because this is one of those things that I could literally, you know, we could all go to a nice pub or a coffee house and sit down and get something to drink, and for the next 3 or 4 hours, we could talk about how awesome these channels are. So I'm going to just pick two creators, two producers that are doing these videos on YouTube, share them with you, and I'll give you some more links in the show notes, which you can always pick up at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. Now, both of these gentlemen that we're going to talk about are working out of the United Kingdom, and I believe that's just coincidence. As a matter of fact, one of them is an American. He just, happens to be living in London right now. So the first one we're going to start with, just sort of at random, is a man who has to be one of the busiest creators on YouTube. Because when I first stumbled across a Brady Heron video, I thought it was brilliant. It was a video on one of his channels, and he was talking about chemistry. And I'll get more into that in a minute. And then soon after, I stumbled across another video that I thought was equally brilliant, and it was totally about something else. It was about mathematics. And come to find out, it's the same guy. And then, you know, I started digging a little deeper, and good Lord, this man has tons of content and lots of channels, each one on a different topic related to science, technology, engineering, and math. So I really wanted to pull this one out because there's so much there and it's such a wealth of information. And more importantly, they are so well done that you have to check out Brady Heron's channels. And I'll just cover a few of them because he's got several, but I'll link all of them in the show notes. And the first one that I would probably want to start with is the one that I got started with. And it was the periodic table of videos. Now, this started out as a project of his where he was going to do basically a video on every element. So he would do an element, you know, he'd do a video on, say, hydrogen, and then he'd do one on helium, and then there'd be a later video on nitrogen, and so on and so forth. It's since branched out from there, because the thing is the chemical elements are really quite fascinating. And when you start talking about sort of the properties of one element, maybe versus the properties of another, or just the fascinating aspects of a given element, then yeah, you're going to get questions in the comments and people are going to want to know more. And so you wind up making videos to answer those questions. So he's branched out from there. So while he's got great videos on the elements, he's got great videos just on chemistry in general on that channel. Periodic table of videos, like I said, links in the show notes. You've got to check it out. Now, because Brady's working mainly in the UK, Great Britain, places like that, almost all of these, all of the people in the videos, besides him, as a matter of fact, he's not really even hosting the video himself. He's mainly just doing camera work and occasionally asking the off-screen question. So most of the people in front of the camera are professors and doctors of science and mathematicians and people like that. So he's working with universities in the United Kingdom. University of Nottingham, for instance, comes up quite often. Manchester, places like that. So these are people that know what they're talking about. They are not amateurs. These are academics that make their living teaching people these concepts. And it speaks to many of their teaching abilities that they are able to come from a university setting and teach basic concepts to total lay people on YouTube and pull it off so well. So if you're into chemistry, check out the periodic table of videos. Now, the second one is a channel called Numberphile, and that's P-H-I-L-E, as in the love of and the love of numbers, and obviously we are talking about mathematics. Now, mathematics, at least in my experience, is where people sort of lose their love of science, because everybody that I know, I can't think of anyone that I know that doesn't have at least a passing interest in astronomy. You show them pictures of space, you show them the Hubble Deep Field, you show them these, you know, beautiful images of nebulae and things like that, and, you know, they will properly ooh and ah, isn't that beautiful, isn't that wonderful? But when you start talking about things that fascinate me, like, say, Roche limits and Schwarzschild radiuses, or radii, one or the other, I need some more coffee. But when you start talking about the mathematics of astronomy and space, their eyes glaze over and, you know, they might shuffle their feet a little bit and, well, I'm not very good at math, I'm sorry. You don't have to be. I mean, not everybody can be an astrophysicist. I'm certainly not. Which is why we have people like Neil deGrasse Tyson that are astrophysicists who can do it so much better than I ever could anyway. But math doesn't scare me. As a matter of fact, it's quite fascinating to me how math works. And Numberphile is a channel that is perfect for that. It's a channel that I intend to show people when they tell me that they're scared of mathematics, or they just don't understand mathematics, or mathematics isn't fun, it isn't interesting. I bet I could show many of them Numberphile and at least get some turnaround on that position. So Numberphile, he works with several mathematicians, including a guy who wrote a book on the mathematical secrets of the Simpsons. And you've got to check out those videos. They're pretty prominently displayed. I believe his name is Simon Singh. Awesome looking chap too. I mean, he's apparently of, he looks like he's maybe East Indian origin, but he's this brilliant mathematician with one of the coolest mohawks I have ever seen. And he's written books about the mathematical secrets of the Simpsons. And he also talks about the mathematics behind Futurama. I mean, seriously, this is awesome. But beyond that, you've got other mathematicians and doctors of mathematics who explain some interesting stuff about numbers. Not the how to do it. I mean, they assume that you know that 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 3 minus 2 equals 1 and stuff like that. What they're going to talk about is some of the more fascinating aspects of, say, pi. Why is pi an infinite series? What is pi? What makes pi special? Beyond that, they also talk about things like the number e and why e is special. And interesting equations, stuff like what is 1 plus 1 minus 1 plus 1 minus 1 plus 1 minus 1 often to infinity? What is the answer to that equation and why? So they make math interesting and entertaining. And nothing is hidden. There's no sort of skipping a step where they say, and you do some bits here and some addition, and then you get this number. No, they're literally writing much of this stuff down on brown butcher paper, and they're using a Sharpie to write this down. And to me, doing advanced mathematics with a Sharpie is sort of like doing the New York Times crossword, you know, New York Times crossword puzzle with a pen. And these guys and girls and ladies and gentlemen are just doing such a wonderful job, and they make the subject interesting. So for those that have, you know, a mathematical bent or maybe a mathematical fright, Numberphile is a good place to start. There's no threatening. They don't care if you're getting a wrong answer because there's no answers to be gotten. They're showing you everything. They are pulling back the curtain on a world that sometimes scares people. So that's pretty important. Now, beyond that, there's a channel that I am just deeply in love with. I love all these channels, but Computerphile is exactly what it sounds like. It's like Numberphile, but with computers. Now, this is about computer science. So you're not going to go to Computerphile and find out how to create websites or how to make Windows 8.1 work faster for you or why Linux is better than Windows or why Windows is better than OS 10. That's not the focus of it. The focus of it is the actual science behind computers. How do computers work? Why do they work that way? And what does the future hold? And in my opinion, the one of the features that he has on Computerphile is this excellent series of videos where he's talking to a professor emeritus of computer science, and I believe he was with the University of Nottingham. And this guy has been around since computers filled rooms and you talk to them with punch cards. And he actually has two or three videos on how to program with punch cards and the Algol programming language and how you had to have a stack of cards to, you know, to just get the computer to add numbers together and the way you would get data out of a computer that was using punch cards. He is amazing because he has been there, seen it, he's done it. And, you know, and as he's talking about this, he's got an iPad on his desk that he will typically, you know, use or at least refer to. So you know this is not a man that, you know, got out of the game just because he retired and is no longer a per se working professor. Now he's an emeritus professor. This is a man that's still doing what he loves to do, and he's very passionate about computer science. And he's just one guy. There are more on there. There is a basically a web developer who goes into this. It starts out as an interesting video on time zones and why programming computers to work with international and worldwide time zones is so tricky. And it goes from sort of being a how-to to a rant to an almost hilarious breakdown where you can actually feel this guy's pain as he tried to make things work and finally what the solution is for dealing with time zones. And you know, this is not a spoiler alert or anything. Time zones are a pain in the butt to program around. In the limited software development I've done myself, if I can keep everything in one time zone, I will. I don't add anything. So check out Computerphile, especially if you've got a little geeky bent and want to know what actually goes on underneath the hood of your computer. So beyond that, he's got several other channels. I'm just going to hit a couple more that I think really deserve mention. And another one is 60 Symbols. Now, 60 Symbols started out as short videos about the symbols and the terminology used by physicists, astronomers, geologists, chemists, things like that. What do these symbols mean and where do they come from? And that, sort of like the periodic table of videos, has been branched out from. So now 60 Symbols is almost just a general science channel where, yes, they still talk about the symbols and terms, but they have interviews. They have scientists talking about their subjects and how they work. They kind of go on these field trips to different science, scientific laboratories and things like that. It's definitely worth checking out, and it's a great place to even start. I accidentally started with the periodic table of videos because I was looking for a video on chemistry. I found that one. It came up in sort of the popular topics, and I discovered 60 Symbols from there. So 60 Symbols is great for general science, just showing someone. And, you know, if you get into these like I do, if I were just sort of introducing someone to the work of this gentleman, I would start with 60 Symbols because it kind of covers the whole gamut. And from there, you can get into whatever sort of subject that interests you specifically. Now, he's got others. But before I sort of back off of his and go on to the next producer that I want to talk about, I have to give a shout out to Deep Sky. And yeah, as a guy with a background in astronomy, there we are. Deep Sky is one of those video series that is just oh so wonderful, oh so pretty, because it is full of the ooh pretty, but it's also full of talk about astronomy and the actual science of doing astronomy. And to me, that is very interesting. So if you want to actually know what goes on behind the radio telescope and how they get these images out of the Hubble and what they look like when they start out and what they look like when they finish and how they get from point A to point B, you have to check out Deep Sky. Excellent series. And like I said, he's got more of them, and I'll link all of them in the show notes. He's got an excellent website where he links to all of his videos. I will link to a few directly, and then I'll just link you to that website, because from there you can go nuts. It's almost like the Wikipedia version of YouTube, because you can start out on one, and of course when you're looking at that down the, I believe it's the right side, they have related videos. And since he's got so many videos on YouTube that are related to this, you'll start clicking on those, and then you'll click on some others, and then you'll find some other cool producer who's like Brady Haran and doing something similar, but they've got a different twist to it. Then you'll start clicking on videos from them, and, you wake up and it's 2 a.m. and you have no idea what happened the last few minutes. You just feel a lot more intelligent. So, yeah, check out those videos. But moving on, there is a guy that I have to tell you about, and he is absolutely amazing and basically takes science and technology, a little bit of engineering, and sometimes a little mathematics thrown in there, blends them all together in a way that would make any educator proud, because not only does he drop the knowledge, but he totally makes it interesting, and in many ways, he makes it engaging. And this is the work of Michael Stevens. And you might not know the name, but you'll find him on a channel called Vsauce. Now, Vsauce, strangely enough, was a channel that I came across sort of by accident. And it wasn't on the Brady Haran things. It was something that was linked to from, I believe, a subreddit I was in. They said, you should check this out. Vsauce has a video all about this. I was like, Vsauce, who? So I clicked the video, and it turned into another Wikipedia, YouTube rabbit hole where, he's got more videos. I need to see this video. And, oh, he's got a video about this, and I want to see that. He's absolutely amazing. He's bouncy, happy. He is so excited about what he is doing, and he is so excited to teach you something. And the things he teaches you are absolutely amazing, because everything sort of starts out with a question. Because really, that's how all scientific inquiry starts out. That's how all curiosity starts out. Hey, why does this do that? Hey, what is that thing? How does it work? Stuff like that. So he has some great questions. And once you see the questions, you almost have to click the link and go see the video. Because once you see it, you have to know the answer. Like, for instance, what color is a mirror? I mean, what? That's such an out there question. What do you mean, what color is a mirror? And, before I even watch the video, I kind of form my own opinion. Well, mirrors are silvery, I guess. Wrong. Actually, they're not. That's not the color of a mirror. I'm not going to spoil it. You should go check out the channel, and you should find out on your own what color is a mirror. But along the way, he answers the question by answering several other questions, and in his own words, he accidentally teaches you things. So when we're talking about the concept of the color of a mirror, he gets into things like optics. How does light work? How does light work when it hits your eyes, and how does your brain process what it sees? So from there, he'll go from point A to point B to point C, maybe a slight detour to point G, back to point E, and eventually he will answer the question. But along the way, you've learned far more than just the answer to that question. Because if he started out and just, what color is a mirror, and just gave you the answer, 10 seconds, that's boring. And meanwhile, all of these videos, including Brady Haran's, they're about 8 to 20 minutes. I mean, the longest one I've seen, I think, is 20 minutes, and that's very much the exception. Most of them are about 10. And Vsauce is no different. Vsauce videos tend to be about maybe 10 to 15 minutes. But beyond, the color of mirrors, he talks about what happens if the sun just disappears. What's going to happen to our solar system if the sun just vanishes? Why are bad words bad? One of the recent videos he has that I literally finished watching just before I sat down to record this episode was, why do we call it our bottom when it's in the middle of our bodies? And it makes you giggle because, like, what? I mean, what do you mean? And you click on the link, and I know more about human physiology now than I did, well, about 35, 40 minutes ago when I first watched the video. And now I know why our bottom is called our bottom, even though it's in the middle of our bodies. But more importantly, I know why it's important that humans have a bottom like we do. So I learned something. I never gave any thought to this. I didn't even think about the fact that, you know, we call it our bottom, but it's not really our bottom. No matter how we sit, usually, our feet are usually lower than our bottom. So check that out. Now, he's also got a couple of partners that work with him, and they have their own channels. And these are the fun channels that you want to get into as you branch out from Vsauce, because Vsauce very much has a scientific and a technological focus on his videos. Vsauce 2 and Vsauce 3 have different foci. Foci? Yeah, I think we'll say foci. I haven't a clue. Let me have some coffee here real quick. Excellent. Okay, so Vsauce 2 and Vsauce 3 each have sort of their own taglines that describe what their channel is about. Vsauce, the tagline is, our world is amazing. Vsauce 2, their tagline there is, people are amazing. Now, Vsauce 2 features a guy named Kevin. And Kevin is going to talk about all of, like, these weird inventions that people have made and why they're important and why they might be thrilling. And yes, some of these inventions are silly and stupid, but we'll move on and we'll laugh at them and we'll still learn something. So Vsauce 2 talks about people, and Vsauce 3, the tagline there is, fictional worlds are amazing. Now, Vsauce 3 covers a lot of things about, say, the worlds of books and the worlds of video games. But more than that, he covers sort of scientific questions about them. One of my favorite videos that Vsauce 3 has done is a video about Minecraft. Now, it would take an entire episode to explain Minecraft, but if you've never heard of it, here's sort of the quick version of the explanation. In Minecraft, you play a miner who digs things up and builds things with the things he digs up. One of the things you can dig up is gold. So you dig up gold ore, you can use a furnace to smelt the ore into gold ingots. Okay. Your miner, sometimes called Steve, has the ability to carry quite a bit of stuff with him. Not a lot, not an infinite amount of stuff. You have limits. But you can still carry quite a bit of stuff on you at any given time. And it occurred to Josh, I believe is his name on Vsauce 3, it occurred to him how much tonnage is Steve carrying if he loads up all of his inventory slots with gold. You know, because gold is not exactly a light element, and I learned that from watching a periodic table of videos, but I knew it already. But still, play along, damn it. Anyway, gold is not light, it's quite heavy, and in each inventory space, you can stack 64 bars of gold. So how much does a bar of gold weigh? How much does 64 of them weigh? And then how much does that weigh spread out over your entire inventory? And as it turns out, yeah, it weighs a whole lot. So it's funny now, when I play Minecraft, because I do love playing Minecraft, it's sort of a zen experience for me. It's fun now when I play it and I start digging up gold and things like that, and I start looking at my inventory and I've got stacks of rock and stacks of gold and stacks of iron and tools and all that, as to how much that would have to weigh. And this guy's just running around with it, literally running around, bouncing off of cliffs, jumping up and down and things like that. And yet he's carrying literally tons of stuff with him. He also covers sort of how that works in other games where you will have, you know, a gun and a sword and this other gun, and then you've got some C4, and yet you don't even have a backpack on. Where are you carrying all of this stuff? And more importantly, how much does it weigh? So Vsauce, Vsauce 2 and Vsauce 3, excellent channels for general scientific entertainment. It's one of those things where I would almost want to set up a station someplace and just have them going on, you know, basically a random loop. You know, go to YouTube, pick one of these videos and play it. And then when that video is done, play another one and then play another one. They're all absolutely well done. And as a matter of fact, there's some crossover between Brady Heron and Vsauce because they do work together. I believe Vsauce has appeared on Number File, and they've linked videos where something happens on, you know, one set of videos and it will be concluded on another. And as a matter of fact, if you check out the 60 Symbols channel from Brady Heron, he actually has a great interview with Michael Stevens of Vsauce. And they talk about how he got into making videos and why he's interested in science and all of that stuff. So, basically to wrap this up, you've got a whole wealth of information available to you on YouTube. I think a lot of us already know that. But these excellent little short videos make for great introductory things for staff and for public, and would make a great display both online and in your library. To get people interested in STEM topics in ways that they might not even have realized they were interested in the first place. Vsauce is especially good at that. I really don't know or care that much about human physiology, but like I said, now that I watched a video about 35 or 40 minutes ago, I know far more about human physiology than I did an hour ago. And that, folks, is pretty freaking powerful. So hey, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. I hope you got a few tips and tricks on finding some great videos about STEM and STEM-related topics. I have to apologize for my voice on this episode. I'm getting over some allergy problems. I haven't caught a cold, but the last week has been absolute hell with allergies. I don't know what's going on, especially given that it's still winter here in the Phoenix, Arizona area, so I'm not even sure what I'm allergic to. So I apologize for the hoarseness and the throat clearing and all of that good stuff. The music you're listening to right now is Dope by Dmitry Krotovich. I hope I pronounced that properly. As always, the opening track is Belly Dance at Ebisu by Ryo Miyashita. You can find links to both of those songs off the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. And you'll find music exactly like that and totally not like that at the Free Music Archive, which you can dig on at freemusicarchive.org. Great stuff there, great for podcasting and anything, any project that you might need some musical accompaniment for. I find a lot of music there. Some of it's great, some of it's good, some of it isn't worth anything at all, but it's always a little adventure because you're never sure what you're going to get when you click play. Good stuff to be had, good place to browse, and you can find some great tunes by people that you'll never hear on the radio because apparently all the radio plays is mainstream. And this is so totally not mainstream. So check out Free Music Archive. And of course, if you need to contact me, you can do so via Twitter. I'm at Bibrarian. That's B-I-B-R-A-R-I-A-N. Or you can leave a comment in the, you know, in the show notes and stuff like that. Just drop a comment right there on the site. Or if you want to email directly, I am cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com. I check that email often. I check it frequently. So if you send me something, I will do my best to get back to you as soon as possible. As just a one more shout out here, I've got another show that I'm rolling on, just launched last week, called The Far Side of the Net. You can check that out at bibliosophs.com. That's bibliosophs.com/podcast. And I'll link that in the show notes, of course, as well. And you can pick up the first episode. The Far Side of the Net, I kind of explain it as if Seinfeld was a show about nothing, The Far Side of the Net is a show about everything. So the first episode, we talked about how to get a lot of content off the web really quickly and easily. We reviewed a Snoopy video game, and, you know, just check it out. If you like this one, you might like that one. And if not, you know, hey, pick the one you like. And as long as you're tuning in, I'm a happy guy. So thank you for listening. Remember, you don't have to be high tech to be low budget, but it does help if you happen to be a cyberpunk. Catch you next time.